There is something else about which I would like to speak, and it does have to do with money. And it's something to which I had alluded at the beginning of the show, and that is the world of precious metals. And you're saying, huh? Now, he's not trying to sell you anything, but he's here to give us some information. If you've been paying attention to the silver price per ounce and the silver futures, they're through the bloody roof, and gold ain't doing too bad either. And many of you have questions about silver and gold, and I just want to get some basic information here on what's going on with precious metals from John Thurr, CFA, with the Financial Guys. John, thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Hi.
Hello.
Good to be here.
So what in the world is going on with silver? Silver is skyrocketing.
Yes.
Why?
It's not so simple, and it's obviously off of gold, okay? And then other precious metals started taking off. So when gold gets to this level, or any, even if it was a stock, let's say it's a semiconductor stock, and it's NVIDIA, and NVIDIA goes through the roof, and you think you missed it. And all of a sudden, you're looking around, and you say, well, why don't I buy Broadcom? And then Broadcom goes up. And then you say, well, geez, I missed Broadcom. Well, why don't I buy the next one? So it's the same thing in the precious metals. Gold is taken off. And then all of a sudden, what's next? And then you start seeing a lot of the materials go. The other part of that is a lot of these things are traded by sector and they're traded by category. So all of a sudden, they start to see inflation be a problem because of what gold is doing. That would indicate that inflation is going to be a bigger problem for a longer period of time. So then they say, okay, well, then why don't we buy more metals? And because of the construction that might go on, because of the, what is it, $20 trillion committed to developing manufacturing in the United States, could take a lot of metal, right? Steel, and you got to get rebar, which is more reconstituted steel. So then you start thinking about that. So they create these funds or the sector ETFs, and that money just pours into them because they're diversified and they're buying all kinds of metals.
Right. Now, an ETF is an exchange-traded fund, for those who don't know.
Correct. Correct.
Now, the
of infrastructure things going on here that will promote a lot of the material stocks.
You know, the president should have invaded Peru as well, because they've got a huge supply of silver in Peru, I'm just saying. But anyway, getting back to it, last year, 2025 calendar year, the price of an ounce of gold went up by something like 65%. Silver per ounce went up by roughly 145%. And you've talked about some of the reasons why. You've established the fact that typically silver and gold operate almost like a tag team duo. At this point, for people who are watching the markets, which offers the best chance of ROI, return on investment, gold or silver?
Well, I would say from a pure play standpoint and the factors that involve, because if you look historically, it's always been gold. Silver's kind of been a laggard. For a short period, it'll follow gold and then trail off. So if you're looking at it from a historical perspective, I would say gold. But what I'm also going to tell you is what's going on around the world with all these political problems and wars and skirmishes and everything else, that's going to create some issues. And you're probably going to keep gold and silver moving because they are hedges against your everyday assets, your stocks, your bonds, your real estate. So what you have to consider as well is over the last especially 5 years, you've seen a lot of money come to the U.S. because the U.S. market has been the strongest and the best place to be. So you look at around the world who's investing, a lot of the foreign money has come in here, okay, and into our markets. So when you buy a U.S.-based asset, whether it's real estate, stock, whatever, bonds, you have to first buy the currency. So what you're doing now is hedging yourself against our currency. Mm-hmm. When you buy gold or silver or metals, you're hedging yourself against something going wrong with our currency and therefore your assets in the United States. So it's become a hedge. So the more assets held internationally, the more they want to hedge those assets. So a lot of it could be China buying gold. It is a lot of them. It is China, and it is some of these major countries trying to hedge themselves against the huge investments they have in the U.S.
So for the people listening to this show who presumably are not in China, but I don't know what those communists are doing any one minute to another. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. People listening, do you believe if they've got the ability to move money around in their 401k, like what percentage of their overall portfolio would you feel comfortable with saying, hey, maybe you should have some in precious metals such as silver and gold? Because you look at the 2025 ROI, 65% for gold, 145% for silver. Man, if you'd had your entire 401k in silver, you'd have more than doubled your money.
Okay. To answer that question, I would say a couple of years ago when I started buying gold, I was allocating maybe 5% of a client's portfolio, or if they had other assets elsewhere, their net worth, okay, as a hedge, all right? What you have to understand about gold and any other metal, it's only worth what somebody's willing to pay you right now. So there is no income. There is no balance sheet, income statement, cash flows. It's a commodity. So you have no idea where it's going, and you can't have a fundamental underpinning or backdrop on it. It's not like, so what I do a lot of times, I'll buy a mining company, and that way I'm at least getting a dividend. So if gold goes up 20%, my mining company might not go up 20%, it may go up 12 to 15. But in the meantime, if I'm wrong or it doesn't move for a while, I'm getting a cash flow from the dividend, and I've got assets, and I've got a balance sheet, and I've got some type of a base that even if gold were to fall off 20%, my stock's not going to fall 20%.
Sure. So, well, I mean, obviously, it also depends on the time horizon at which you're looking for some appreciation. If you're relying on income, it's different than if you're trying to build for the future, and gold and silver are stores of value.
Exactly. And it's also tied to what you own in your portfolio. Okay, so some portfolios are designed differently than others, but I say on average, if you've got about 5% in gold or silver or some combination thereof, I think that's not a bad thing. Whether I'd buy it right now, I'm not so sure. I probably wouldn't be adding to my positions or taking on a new one right now, unless it were to, like, it pulled back a little back ago to 4,000 in gold. Maybe right. Not a bad time to add to it or buy it. Just don't chase things because, again, right. they've had a great run. And like anything else, it could have a pullback or it may be hitting its peak.
We saw a couple of weeks ago, we saw a profit-taking pullback in silver. It had gone up significantly, yeah. But then it had gone down significantly as people took their profits. I've seen a lot of analyses that suggest that in 2026, it is not unreasonable to think that silver may actually well exceed $100 per ounce. And there might be some people with FOMO, fear of missing out. Do you believe that's right. A fair assessment of where silver may be this year?
I cannot say that. Nobody can. Because, like I said, I cannot analyze a balance sheet, an income statement. That mm-hmm. would be more based on a technical outlook, like looking at the charts, looking where it's been, looking at the movements made, looking at the trajectory, looking at the 50-day, 200-day moving averages, that kind of thing. But you cannot say you can actually assign a value or predict where it's going. I can't. So
yeah,
I'm not
if we could, do you think I would have sold? If we could, you think I would have sold a lot of silver at $24 an ounce? The answer would be no. I'll take no for $500, Alex. So I want to do a show with you and the boys from the financial guys at some point, just talking about the outlook for 2026. I mean, we didn't even have a chance to get into crypto, which is a very interesting area to me. Crypto, highly volatile, highly speculative. I call that casino investment money. That's like the roulette wheel of the investment world, as opposed to something that's more stable, you know, a diversified mutual fund, something like that. Yep. But with the Clarity Act is worth keeping eyes on. Because the Clarity Act passes and is signed into law, that is going to remove some uncertainty from the crypto world, which may very well benefit assets such as Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, and others.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at, again, another area that's speculative, and it's commodity type right now, and it's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. But I think it's proven itself that every time it drops, and it sometimes drops significantly, buyers come in, and there has become more stability to wanting to own it and why you should own it. And again, as a small piece of your portfolio, and to participate in it in the future, again, if any currency were to devalue, because there's so much debt in the world, the currencies are subject to really depreciating, and they should have depreciated a lot more. The only reason why it hasn't is because every country has piled on sovereign debt. Now, if the U.S. was the only one that piled on sovereign debt, the dollar would have been crushed. But it's every country, and relative to the GDP, I believe ours is probably not as bad as China's or a lot of other countries.
Well, hopefully the Supreme Court is going to make the right ruling on tariffs and we don't have some calamitous financial event in the United States. The Supreme Court could sink our economy with one decision.
But I'm not so worried about that, because I'm sure they already have a plan B. And some of it is to not call it a tariff. They'll call it a, I don't want to call it a fine, but call it a price to do business. Not call it a tariff. Okay. They've got ideas,
I know.
And they're going to get around this. I'm not so concerned.
We'll see.
If it gets shot down, it would be foolish. I think it would stir political wrangling, but I think I think he has the right to do this, but I'm not worried about it, because he'll come up with some other label for it.
Yeah, I understand, and I hope that we're right with our optimism on that and on Trump's mastery of the financial world. Hey, John, thanks a lot for joining us, man. I appreciate you jumping in on this, and at some point, we got to get Mike and Glenn together, and I can be the idiot in the middle listening to the brilliant minds. And by the way, the one biggest investment advice I think anybody should hear is two words, very lucky, very, very important, be lucky. Be lucky. People like to think it's skill. Be lucky.
It doesn't hurt.
Not at all. Thanks very much, John Thurr with the Financial Guys, CFA, on News Radio 930 WBEN.